Hey, what's up? It's the Drive with Sam Piper, ESPN Radio 93.5. Derek Piper, Lante, Kyle Tosk. Pretty quiet weekend, all in all. My son was sick, so hunkered down in the fort, just coming out for air. And I'm assuming that nothing really happened. So am I right in that, guys? How you doing?
Yeah, there was a spring game.
Yeah, that's right.
And the golf team, baseball swept Northwestern. The golf team won their invitational.
Sweet.
Getting ready for Big Ten. Dan Hartlam's squad is just rolling right along. I think the Illini women's tennis team is like seeded fifth in the Big Ten tournament. Cardinals got swept by the Brewers. Cubs lost 2 to the Marlins.
Cubs blew their 50th save of the season, even though they've only played 22 games.
Our team suck. Our team's heads are falling off. Pets' heads are falling off.
I didn't even score a run.
And then people kept texting me today about some kid named Luke. And then
not our Luke.
I kept
right?
seeing like signs of Orlando, Florida, and I was like, I don't know what those two things mean. But luckily, we don't have to talk about.
You're more
that.
Of a Tampa guy, anyway.
Yeah, right. So I was kind of when I saw the Orlando stuff, I'm like, I have no idea what that means. I'm just gonna move on. Andrew was dressed to the T for prom. Did you see the picture?
I haven't seen it. No.
Oh my goodness.
I can only imagine.
Yeah. Right. I think he won best dressed.
Of course. Needs to.
Oh, we kid. We know what's going on.
Where do you want to start?
Listen, as much as we love Luke Goody, and he is our guy, and I am depressed. A 6'5" asked how badly is Lon taking the Luke news. It's tough, man. I grounded him. No allowance for a week. He's got to suffer the consequences, as I mentioned. That said, I think you got to start with our guy, right? Coming to replace Chester Frazier. You were on this pretty much the entire time, for the most part. Orlando Antigua, that's huge, Derek Piper.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, getting one of the best assistants in college basketball to come back to Champaign. Huge. And just the opportunity that unfolded with Cal leaving Kentucky and going to Arkansas. And we talked about it when ultimately made that decision to follow Cal back to Lexington in 2021, that there was a family draw there, that his daughter was going to school at UK, that his wife really liked it there. And just he got a call from his former boss where he had a lot of inroads and foundation there at a pivotal time for Kentucky, and he decided to make the move back. It was a highly contested move because Illinois was trying like hell to keep him. I mean, it was a high price game of like a bidding war to try to be able to keep Orlando. And I think that Illinois had the highest offer on the table.
Wow.
When that thing was over, but he still made the move back to Kentucky. So with Calipari moving to Arkansas, there was assumptions that he was going to follow along with him. And Matt Norlander, I know that a week or two ago, tweeted out that, hey, the expectation is Cal's going to keep his same staff. Well, then O didn't go with him. And it was said that he was still on campus in Kentucky. And he had a meeting with Mark Pope about whether or not he was going to stay around. And Mark's had the ability to make some decisions on his staff, too. But yes, all the while, there was, as soon as the Chester Frazier development trickled out, Orlando was the name that got floated. Not that he was the only one, but it was definitely Illinois' top target, and there were said to be momentum moving in that direction. So, admittedly, on my front, I didn't believe it at first. Like, I believed that they were going to shoot their shot. I didn't believe that they were going to be able to get him back. But the more that you heard and you dug around on it, it seemed to be very, very real. And in talking to people as recent as yesterday, I just said I had a little bit of a conversation with O, and I know that he's just super excited to be back. And
that's awesome.
The opportunity to return to a place where he has close relationships. Like, him and Brad stayed close even after he left, and he had a great bond with Adam Fletcher and Jeff Alexander and Joey Biggs and Tyler and Zach. So he saw this as a place where he could go be around close friends, but also just pick up where he left off.
Sure.
I mean, he has a lot of pride in building this thing up where it was when he left it to be a one seed. Just try to envision Illinois making that surge back up the Big Ten without Kofi Coburn. It would be hard to do. Obviously, Iowa was there, but that dynamic duo was a huge part of it, and you don't get Kofi without O, and he's one of the best talent getters out there. He's a really respected big man developer. He's worked with a lot of really, really good bigs over the years at Kentucky. I mean, he had Boogie Cousins, Anthony Davis.
Reed Shepard this year, right?
He had Reed Shepard this year, a shooter. Julius Randle, Oscar Sheway, obviously Kofi here, did good work with Georgie.
Yeah.
And then from a recruiting standpoint at Illinois, obviously Andre Curbelo, the one really good year you got from him as a freshman. Andres Feliz, you got him. O actually got you Alfonso Plummer before he left.
Oh,
and
then
Plummer
stuck on
that team that won the Big Ten title in between the transition there when O and Chin left. So just seemed like Chester's, and I'll throw it back here not to turn this into a filibuster, but Chester's a beloved alum and a guy that's a respected coach. But this was a grand slam home run. There's a lot of times where you come out in a coaching shirts or whatever and say, okay, this is the top target. And a lot of instances that guy is either unrealistic or he tells you no, and you have to move on to option two and three. And Illinois had O at the top, and credit to Brad and Josh Whitman. They got it done.
I mean, this is kind of what a blue blood feels like, right? Where you just feel like going in, you're going to get your guy no matter what. And that's what Illinois was able to do with Brad and Josh, of course, being able to dole out the cash. I think it's interesting that all of this happened. You know, just even the move. I don't remember. What was the little school that started the whole domino effect which led Cal to Arkansas? Wasn't it?
It was SMU.
That's right, SMU. And then there were like four moves after, and then Arkansas opens, so Cal takes that. You know, we've been in those moves before where it hurt Illinois, right? The Bill Self saga when all those coaches, you know, the coaching left, you know, Kansas to go to Carolina, and then the next thing you know, Kansas is open. I would have to think, and I don't know this for sure, I don't talk to Orlando, it is his round, by the way. Because the last time I saw he and Chen bought the first round. I said I'd get the third, and you know, implying Orlando to get the second, he never did. So he's back now. I've been holding out hope for that round, so I'll hopefully cash in on that. But in all seriousness, you have to think that Orlando Antigua, from afar, not that far, in Lexington, has paid attention to how Illinois has continued to stay relevant. And not only just continued, they've ratcheted up, you know, making it to an Elite Eight. And I think that's probably given more credit to Brad Underwood, you know, with the Orlando Antigua saying, hey, you know what, we were able to do some good things when I was on that staff. I left, along with Chin, along with who's the young man that went
Stephen Gentry.
Yeah, Gentry. So, you know, that may have been where I doubt those three wanted to see Illinois fail, but I'm sure from a distance they were like, how's this going to work out with all three of us leaving? And all Brad did was pick up the pieces and move on and move forward and move up. And so I would assume that Orlando Antigua sees that and says, you know what? I mean, Ubbin is renovated. You know, that's completely renovated. Mm-hmm. It's one of the best. We know what the Illini fandom is like. I know that I can recruit to that place, and now it's not just trying to get high school kids in here. Now it's recruiting on a national level with this portal thing. And I'm sure he looked at all that and said, you know what? Why wouldn't I go there? Because, look, we're not Kentucky. I'm not trying to say Illinois is, but maybe the distance has shrunk a little bit with regards to Orlando feeling just as capable of being able to sell Illinois as he was Kentucky. And I would think that that played a part in his decision to come back. I'm sure money played a big part in his decision to come back. And like you said, maybe his wife said, well, listen, I wanted to live in Kentucky. I don't want to live in Arkansas, so I'd rather live in Illinois. So, you know, we never know about the insides of that and how that conversation goes. But I think Orlando Antigua just sees this program as one that didn't fall off the ledge when they left. And he probably thinks, look, they're doing wonders in the portal. I can go and do wonders not only in the freshman class, you know, coming in of high schoolers. I can do it in the portal as well. And I'm looking forward to his first couple of moves. I'm not going going to lie to you. I know a couple of people have already texted in on the U of I Atlantic Lake text line because, let's be honest, I said to you the other day off the air, how quick can we get Orlando here? And when we do, how quick is the next, you know, two or three dominoes going to fall, hopefully with him bringing reinforcements with him? So I'd have to feel like what Brad and this staff did after they left is confirmation to Orlando Antigua that it can still be done at the University of Illinois, and I think that probably had a big part to it.
Yeah, I agree with all that you laid out there for sure. I think that the NIL factor now, going out in the portal is able to be competitive as far as the Big Ten goes towards the top tier. I think Indiana is probably a clear number one, but Illinois is kind of in that 2-3 range, I would imagine, maybe even a solid number two in the Big Ten as far as that goes. So that's not a limitation for Illinois to go out there and be competitive in a highly competitive market of bidding wars, just to call it like what it is in terms of players. Not saying that's the only factor in all these decisions, but you got to have some money, some NIL backing to go out and build a competitive roster. So there's that for sure. And Illinois has a great reputation in the portal. And look, I wrote it. The portal's king right now in college basketball. It just is, whether you like it, whether you hate it. That's just the reality of it, that being able to go out and get older guys, get players that were highly touted recruits that just didn't work out, or even just players that want to test their market value, like a Hunter Dickinson going into the portal and being able to command, I would imagine, $1 million. We talked about Omar Ballo, 1.2 to go to Indiana or thereabouts. I mean, it's crazy right now, and just the opportunity of the portal is so huge. And Illinois, I'm not saying that they are the top of the top in the transfer portal, but they're definitely have been the best in the Big Ten, in my opinion.
They've got to be top, what, 10, top 5 in the last 2 years?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you've had in the last 3 seasons – 4 different players from the portal come in and be all Big Ten players.
And a splash name like Matthew Meyer. I mean, I know that maybe that didn't turn out as swimmingly as Illinois had hoped or maybe thought, but you got to admit that year, I mean, to be able to get him, I remember the Friday we were sitting here and you're like, guys, we have breaking news. We're like, what? And I mean, that was a big get for Illinois. And while maybe it didn't end up manifesting exactly what you hope for, if that's the right word, if nothing else, it gave you the credibility of being able to pull in a guy from a national championship caliber. Well, not caliber. They won the national title team. So, yeah, I think it's amazing to me what this staff has done.
I mean, you don't get him and you're not going to the tournament that year.
No, that's a good point.
And obviously that same cycle, you got a pretty important piece, and his name is Terrence Shannon Jr.
Do I remember him?
Yeah, All-American level this past year, first team All-Big Ten.
Both
seasons that he was at Illinois. So to be able to get a guy like that, Marcus Damask, a first team All-Big Ten guy this past year. Alfonso Plummer was a third team All-Big Ten selection, coming in and shooting it at a high clip. So they've been able to show that they Scott and Terre Haute, real quick, sorry to interrupt, but it just clicked in my mind how funny it was. We were like doing a Hans D send-off, and then Matthew Meyer committed and just ruined
perfect.
The whole thing.
Yeah, I mean, it couldn't have worked out any perfect.
That's a great memory, Scott. I had forgotten about that. But, yeah, I mean, just to have the reputation of a program that gets the most out of transfers, that makes it easy for guys from a different program to go in there and have their strengths, being able to be highlighted and showcased, and to show that Brad can make it work. And I know in 2022-23 it was a little tumultuous and a little bit of a roller coaster ride, but even then you ended up in the 8-9 game and you made a tournament, and that's a lot better than some of these bottoming outs that we've seen, like Michigan, the low end of their trajectory, or Maryland's had a bad year in there. Indiana's had seasons where they've missed the tournament. Illinois, thanks to the portal, really, I think you've lost some pieces, but really outside of Pods, there's not a big regret.
That's a great
out
point.
There. And I think there is even still, I don't want to turn this into a Pods conversation. Lord help us if we do that. But, you know, the understanding that he was who he was at Santa Clara because of the situation.
Sure.
And not saying he wasn't a good player. Obviously, he's in the NBA for a reason. But Illinois has gained far more in the portal than they've lost. And this current environment of college basketball is benefiting Illinois, and it will only continue to benefit Illinois with someone like O on the staff to go out there and help them load up the roster.
Last night I was going through some thoughts in my head about this week, and I thought we've got to get Aaron Lemming on because the NFL draft's coming up. I know it's a big day for the Chicago Bears. Big night Thursday, two first-round picks, 1 and 9 if it stays that way. I don't know why it wouldn't unless they move up from 9. I know that somebody floated that to Lemming the other day about coming up and getting Harrison Jr., which I would never talk to you again, Piper, so I guess that would be
I'm a Steelers fan anyway.
Oh, that's right. That's right. You switched, yeah. So I got a hold of Aaron. I'm like, any chance you could join us, and it's going to work out to tomorrow night. Tomorrow at 3:30, I'm sorry, we're going to have Aaron on. So you Bears fans or just people that love the draft, make sure you're tuning in. And then this morning when I before I heard the news, obviously, about Luke Goody, which I don't want to get it away without talking a little bit about him, too, I thought, you know what? I didn't get a chance to see any of the spring game. I recorded it last night. It was on at 8 o'clock. I'm going to watch a little bit of it tonight. I saw some of the stats, but I didn't get to see a lot of it. And I thought, how about we get our guy Jeremy Warner on today? Because he could talk about the spring game in Orlando, Antigua. And it worked out perfect now with Luke Goody also entering the portal. I'm telling you, if my favorite professional teams had this much movement every year, I don't know that I would enjoy sports anymore, to be honest with you. I'm just riding the wave. Like, I'm a guy that just learned how to surf, and I've got this wave going, and I'm like, I'm not getting off, baby. I'm not falling or anything. I'm just going to ride this college basketball wave of portal right now. And it hasn't been as crazy, I guess, Illinois-wise on the football side. I mean, Brett Bielema essentially at this point is trying to get guys to go into the portal so he can open up spots on his roster or get down to a certain level. So that's kind of the weird part of that. But at this basketball, I mean, as much movement, you got three guys coming back next year that you know. Right?
Yeah, Trey Gibbs Longhorn. And one that really played.
Right. Ty Rogers. And then Nico Moretti. I mean, you've got three dudes that you know their name that are coming back next year with the news today that Luke Goody's entered the portal. And, of course, Luke was our guy, came on with us all the time, did exceptional at that. He's got a career in this if he wants it. I think he wants to be like some hunting guide or fishing guide, to be honest with you. But we love Luke Goody. And
yes,
he was great to visit with. I mean, he gave us exceptional stuff. Luke Altmyer is really good at it, too, and I hope he joins us again this season because I got a kick out of talking to Luke. But Luke Goody is really good at it, and he would bring some insight. And I just – he's one that – yeah, there's others that I'm like, I hate to see that. I personally hate losing Luke because I loved having him on our show, loved meeting him. He had the chance to come in here again the other, a couple weeks ago, and he said, I want to come to the studio. I want to see the guys. Which just tells you something about him. Mm-hmm. And it's just, it's tough, man. That's a tough loss. And I think it's going to hurt Illinois a little bit too, because obviously they're going to try to get, other shooters in. But Luke played an important role this season. And I think next season would have played a really important role as well. I'm not sure that he's a starter. I'm sure you're going out there trying to over-recruit him to get on that starting lineup. But I can promise you this, Luke Goody would have helped this Illinois team next year.
Yeah, no
doubt.
I fully would have expected that for sure. I like having a guy like that on my team.
Yes.
With his, of course, shot-making ability from the perimeter, but he's just a competitor, man. He showed up in the postseason throughout his career. He was
3 for 3 in the tournament, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
hit a huge shot against Iowa State.
Huge.
As you're holding on to that one for dear life. And just every season, even though Illinois faltered against Houston, he came in as a true freshman and just
he did.
Rocked it. Him and R.J. Melendez, yep. Like the two guys most ready to play that day for whatever reason. I got to know Kofi had a decent game as well. But I just appreciated that about Luke. I thought that he was just kind of the prototypical program guy, a guy that you Perfect. Wanted to be around your team that was going to compete with for what he earned and was going to be a good culture guy and all those type of things too. So I became a little biased because I liked him so much with what we were able to – how we were able to get to know him a little bit more and have the great conversations that we did. And just knowing him away from basketball now, too. I love the person of Luke Goody as well. And
how about a three-year – how about getting your business degree from the Geese School of Business in 3 years?
Yeah, that's impressive. He's an impressive guy just a really good dude. So you hate to see someone like that move on and – I'm nervous because he was supposed to be the co-host in waiting
yes.
for when you're done here. And,
everything's working out for Kyle.
Yeah, it's true. Is Kyle behind this? I don't know.
Kyle's just sitting over there with that smile going, don't worry, Luke Goody will transfer.
But, yeah, I mean, Illinois has – I wouldn't say that they've recruited over him. They've just shown him, I think, that – no, I'm not saying that you – I think it's just kind of the way that we've looked at it, and maybe it will end up turning out to be that way, but they made it very, very clear that they were going to bring in direct competition to his spot. I mean, Trey White's the guy that's going to play 3/4. If there's talk of a big wing name that I think might go in the portal this week, and Illinois will have a lot of interest if it's the name I've heard. Ben Hamrickhouse from Evansville, 6'9" shooter, is going to visit this week, and he's a shot maker from the perimeter that I think would be in direct competition with Luke. Jake Davis comes in from Mercer. I had no expectation that Jake would play over Luke this year if they were both on this team. But I just, for someone that's about to play his final year of college basketball, he doesn't have a COVID year to opt into.
Right.
He sacrificed his sophomore season to just be ready for the stretch run and made a very selfless move to help the team. Not to call out Sincere too much here, but there are different levels. I'm not saying that Sincere didn't make the best decision for him, but Luke wanted to come back to help that team go as far as they possibly could. Sincere made a decision for himself to say, I'd rather save my year to play as much minutes as I can. I don't want to use it to not play that much. So there's a little bit of different ends of the spectrum, and I respect Luke for that decision he made back in 22-23. So
does this open the door for Shoot?
I don't think so.
Oh.
As far as I know, no. You're going to have to pull some strings on that one.
Okay. I'm a little worried that he went into the portal a week ago and we haven't gotten him.
Yeah. I heard that, was it Wisconsin that brought him in for a visit?
That would make sense.
Yeah. Iowa. DePaul, of course, with Mullins there, is one to watch, too.
I mean, with Illinois not having a sure knockdown guy, he sat out this year, right, with injury and such.
Yep.
So I'm not saying he's coming in and shooting 39, 40, 41% from the three, but certainly he's a guy that can shoot at a high level. So we'll see. There's just a lot more to do.
Yeah, and Hamrickhouse is a dead-eye shooter, too.
Okay.
We'll talk more about that. I know we got to catch a break here. We got Jeremy Warner coming up. On the Tapman's Towing phone line, Atlanta Inquirer at 3:30. But real quick, I do want to mention, like Ken says, it's going to hurt seeing Luke in a Hoosier uniform if that's where he ends up. I think Indiana's going to be very much involved. I think I've heard that Notre Dame as well, Northwestern. He's gonna be someone that has options. I mean, he's coming off a year he shot 39% from three.
Can he just get out of the Big Ten? Like, I don't want to have to then
root against him.
Yeah. I don't think I could. I just won't watch that game.
He shows up, you'll have some kind of PTSD. He shows up in the candy stripes with red hair, and it's like Tom Coverdale all over again. And
he goes, like Kyle said today, what was your stat line when he joined Indiana? Seven for seven?
7 for 7 from three. If there's Indiana at Illinois next year, he won't miss that game.
21 points on 7 threes. Perfect from the field. Luke Goody and those... Oh, those candy straws. Oh, please.
Even if it's there, wherever he goes, I'll be rooting for him.
I agree 100%. I don't want to see anything bad for Luke Goody first of all, any of these kids, right?
Of course, yeah.
You know, Sky Clark maybe not.
Well,
But anyway, I mean, sorry, I didn't mean to do that. Yeah, so Jeremy Warner coming up. We'll talk to him about the spring game as well, but I want to get his thoughts on Orlando. I know you and he have already done a podcast, I believe, on it. And you guys are all over that stuff. So get his thoughts on all this movement, et cetera, plus a little Illinois football chatter with Jeremy, which we'll do next. Hey, congratulations to Busey, recognized among America's best banks for 2024 by Forbes. This is the third consecutive year the organization has been recognized on the prestigious list. Ranked 40th overall, Busey was the second-ranked bank headquartered in Illinois. Second. In all, 6 Illinois banks were included on the list. In addition to being one of America's best banks, Busey is also honored to be recognized in Illinois as a best place to work. In Florida, among the best companies to work for. And in Indiana, again, a best place to work. Busey Wealth Management is also named to Pensions and Investments Best Places to Work in money management. They are highly thought of if you're not getting the point. From exceeding the needs of customers and colleagues to serving the communities, Busey Associates have shown unmatched dedication to our pillars for more than 155 years. Whatever your financial needs, business and beyond, Busey promises the resources to help you succeed. Stop into one of their many convenient locations. Call 1-800-67-BUSEY or visit Busey.com to learn more. Busey, FDIC.
Kelsey Furniture in downtown Tuscola sells Tempur-Pedic beds. What's it like?
I'm going to tell you right now, Stevie, that thing is the best thing I've ever slept on in my life. My wife and I both have said we've never had better night's sleep. And the people at Kelsey's were fantastic. Brian is the guy that helped us. You know, as much as I did my research, he has a world of knowledge about beds themselves. Oh, man, it's like sleeping on a cloud, man.
Kelsey Furniture, downtown Tuscola.
Jesse with Land's Drain Cleaning and Underground Solutions here to tell you today, hey, we've got solutions for you. Do you have gurgling toilets, slow drains? Have you been told that you have to jackhammer and mess up your entire house and property just to fix a pipe? Have you been told your sewer lines failed, your drain lines don't work? Call us today, have our expert drain cleaning team come out, run your lines, camera them, locate, and we can offer you a solution today. Land's Drain Cleaning and Underground Solutions. Why call anyone else?
Introducing Logic Coworking, where productivity meets comfort. Elevate your work experience at the best coworker facility in the area. With state-of-the-art amenities, high-speed internet, and a vibrant community, Logic Coworking is your ideal workplace. Enjoy flexible plans, ergonomic workspaces, and collaborative environments. Your perfect workspace is waiting for you, because at Logic Coworking, they're not just coworkers, they're collaborators. Visit logic.work for details.
Summertime is just around the corner. Sign up now for summer camps at the Urbana Park District. We have camps for all interests. Sign up for sports camp ages 6 through 12, preschool arts camp ages 3 through 5, and Camp Fresh, teens ages 12 through 15. Sign up now for a special discount. Register online at urbanaparks.org/register or call 217-365-1544. Urbana Park District, you belong here.
We all have a mission in life, something that drives us to explore, to grow, to love. And when we discover it, we're made whole. At OSF Healthcare, we want you to be the best you possible. We're here for you on your schedule to make your life just a little bit easier. Whatever your mission is, we're here to support it. Your life, our mission. Learn more at osfhealthcare.org/mission.
The sounds of spring and the smell of flowers in the air, they all add up to Spring Green, America's neighborhood lawn care team. They become your favorite through quality service and professionalism. Spring Green will service and maintain your lawnscape with seeding, aeration, fertilizing, disease, and insect control. Over 32 years of satisfied customers reflect their commitment to Champaign-Urbana and the Mattoon-Charleston area. Call Spring Green at 217-359-2111 or online at spring-green.com.
Thank you for choosing Two Men in a Truck. How may I help you?
Hey, we're moving, and I have a strange situation here. We need to be out of our house by 10 a.m., but our closing on the new house isn't until 1 p.m. Is that something you guys do?
That's not strange at all. Two Men in a Truck has completed over 9 million moves. We have a solution for that.
Not sure how your move is going to work? Go to twomeninatruck.com to start your free estimate. Twomeninatruck.com.
Hi, I'm Tyler Weaver, president of Carpet Weaver's Flooring and Furniture Gallery. There's no better time to update your home, and here's a big plus. It's all for less at the Karastan Rebate Plus event. Through Sunday only, save on beautiful Karastan carpets and floors with rebates up to $1,000. Save on Karastan's luxurious carpets and durable luxury vinyl, Karastan Luxcraft, is designed with long-lasting materials that resist water, scratches, and dents. Plus, get a bonus free labor credit on every carpet and floor. For every 100 square feet of flooring material purchased, receive a $50 instant labor credit. Plus, get instant rebates on all furniture, rugs, and accessories. Save $250 on every $1,000 you spend. And buy it all with free financing for 3 years. Subject to credit approval, see store for details. Through Sunday only, the Karastan Rebate Plus event at Carpet Weavers Flooring and Furniture Gallery. Come home to Carpet Weavers.
Back on the drive with Sam Piper, ESPN Radio 93.5. Let's go to the Tapman's Towing phone line. Our buddy Jeremy Warner, IlliniInquirer.com. In the middle of the offseason that isn't an offseason, Jeremy is also covering spring football, so you can only imagine what his life is like. Jeremy, how are we doing, man? How are you holding up?
I'm doing all right. I think it's getting through this week, and I feel like we can breathe a little bit. I know basketball portal goes until the end of May, basically, but once we get through the draft, feels like I can breathe a little bit here, but doing well. How are you guys doing?
Good. Are you
not too bad?
Are you two? I'm looking at Pipes when I say this, Jeremy. Are you two going to be able to shut your phones off for at least an hour and a half Thursday night and watch the Bears make history with Caleb Williams and then Roma Dunsey?
My phone will not be off because I will be tweeting excitedly. I don't know how excited Derek has gotten, but I will be drinking beers with some boys. So we're doing a whole draft party with two top 10 picks.
That's awesome, man. That's got to be, I mean, Arizona's kind of the story of it too, with that fourth pick wondering if you know, this is going to be a fun draft for the three of us. Then of course, Kyle, you got the Dolphins at 21, but I think it's just going to be a fun draft for, we have two picks, the Cardinals, you guys have two picks. Of course, you're top 10, you're fancy and stuff. But I just, a lot revolves around that fourth pick with the Cardinals, and then I can't wait to see what the Bears do if they want to move up and try to get somebody, or if they hold pat at 9 and get one of those good receivers. This is going to be fun. I cannot wait for Thursday. I'm as excited to watch what the Bears do as I am the Cardinals.
I haven't asked you this yet. How would you feel if the Cardinals traded out of 4?
I'd never talk to you again.
Marvin Harrison Jr.
I thought you were going to say that the Bears came up and got him. I'd never talk.
No, like if they traded down and say they got like Neighbors, like they come back up into 6 or 7 and Neighbors or a Dunsey, would you still be happy if they passed on Marvin Harrison Jr.?
I've got to make this decision because I've been listening all, you know, like I listen to a Cardinals podcast all the time, and I have to make this decision before draft night because it's only fair, right? Like you and I used to say when we did the show, you have to make this decision before whatever happens. Like before he bunts, you've got to say whether or not you agree with this. I think I'm to the point now, knowing you've got the 27th pick and you've got like 6 picks in the top, whatever it is, it's crazy amount for the Cardinals. Just stand pat and grab Marvin Harrison Jr. You saw what Larry Fitzgerald did for that organization. He'll go down as maybe the best player that's ever played for them. I'm not saying Marvin Harrison Jr. is going to be Larry Fitzgerald, but if he's remotely close, or even, how dare I say, better, then you made the right decision by standing pat and getting him. I know that you can make some great moves for your organization in the future, but just, this is the best move. Stand pat, get Harrison Jr. I think 80% of the Cardinal fans want that, and then hopefully get Johnny Newton at 27. That would be the perfect draft for me.
Yeah, and to probably not often you're at number 4 and you potentially get the number 1 player in the draft.
Amen.
So I'm with you on. I'm with you.
Amen. Just stay pat. Well, we didn't have Jeremy on for his Arizona Cardinal chat. I got to start.
So Chicago White Sox. Here we go.
Oh, my goodness, Jeremy.
Nice talking to you guys.
Oh, my Lord. If we've had you on 3 minutes, then we've equaled the amount of wins if a win equals a minute.
That's right. That is a fact. That is an actual accurate fact.
Yes. This is horrible for the White Sox. Anyway, yeah, let's move on. Yeah, is Jeremy still there? I think I heard he hangs up. Orlando Antigua, I know you had said they put on the big boy pants. One of you two had said that in an article about Illinois putting on the big boy pants and going out and getting Antigua. Does it surprise you to get him, or What was your thought when you kind of you and Derek had a kind of an inkling of Illinois really having a good shot at him? The feeling has got to be great knowing he's coming aboard again.
Well, yeah, to take you behind the scenes, when we heard this was going to happen, that Chester Frazier was going to move on, which is, you know, basically a mutual parting of ways here. I think it works out for both teams here. But the first name I heard that was a possibility was Orlando Antigua. Mm. And whenever you hear that, like something's in the works for a while, and you know, the first name you hear, it's like, oh, this might be a real thing. And now that it's actually happened a week and a half later from the first time I heard Orlando's name, it's like Illinois is acting like a blue blood. Well, like, they're acting like a big-time basketball program. This is a big bully move. And I think for Orlando Antigua to not go with John Calipari to Arkansas and to come back to Brad Underwood, there's a lot about Brad Underwood, what he thinks about him as a coach. I know Derek's probably shared what he's heard, that Orlando thinks Brad is a big-time coach. And also, I think it's just a sign of Josh Whitman, of this fan base and the donor support that it has, that it has the resources and is willing to spend the resources to get Orlando Antigua, who's going to be one of the highest-paid assistant coaches in the country. We'll see what his salary comes out to here, but he's probably going to be a seven-figure assistant coach. And I think that says with the $40 million basketball facility upgrade that you have, the NIL deep pockets you have, I think only Indiana, from what I've heard, is ahead of Illinois right now with NIL funds. And you're selling out the stadium, which is a credit to Brad Underwood. Just the resources you have poured into this program, the fact that Josh Whitman's been willing to go there, the fact that Josh Whitman's been willing to pay Brad Underwood like a top 10 coach before he gets top 10 results for the most part, I think it's been key that Illinois is now one of those programs that is a big fish when it comes to resources, when it comes to expectations, when it comes to talent accrual. And Orlando Antigua is only going to help you take it to another level. And I thought that was a really interesting quote Brad Underwood said. And his statement was that the addition of Orlando to our staff is the latest step in elevating Illinois basketball as we continue to compete for championships. They're not happy with just an Elite Eight or Big Ten banners. This is the type of move that you make to try and get a national championship. And that is what Brad Underwood and Josh Whitman clearly are going for right now.
Jeremy, I know you wrote that this might be the splashiest assistant move that Illinois has ever made. I'm surprised you put it ahead of Garrick McGee.
Ooh!
I was trying to think of, like, the other moves that were, like, and even Garrick McGee, it was a splashy hire. Like,
he was.
Harvey Nickerson. I remember how pumped Lante and Michael Carpenter were about Harvey Nickerson. Like, that's a splashy hire. Paul Petrino back in the day, because yep. Petrino name. But I go back, I think Orlando the first time around was probably the splashiest hire because of who he coached at that time, like Anthony Davis and Carl Anthony Towns, and even like guys like Daniel Orton and Trey Lyles. Like all these first round draft picks, that was a splashy hire for Brad Underwood then. But now to get him back after the role he played the first time around in building up Illinois, with getting Kofi Coburn, getting Andres Feliz, the great version of Andre Curbelo, like Georgie Bishanishvili, and you know, really developing him well, to get him back after that, after Oscar Tshiebwe was a National Player of the Year under him, after getting Reed Sheppard to Kentucky and turning him into a lottery pick here, like, I think this is by far like the splashiest hire I've seen in Illinois. So yeah, I was just kind of just trying to put it into context. That's, again, it's one of the biggest moves I can think of in a staff hire.
Jeremy, I know that obviously Orlando's got to have that respect for Brad and the interest to come back to even be on the table, but something I've been thinking about is, of course, every offseason the coaching carousel can get crazy, and Illinois fans fret that, oh, if this job comes open, would they call Brad? Would Texas last offseason? What was going to happen this year? What if Baylor opened? I don't know or think, especially off an Elite Eight, that Brad was going to be in the mix there or want to go there. But kind of what I'm getting at is, I know that direct compensation for Brad, where he's highly paid, he's top 10 in the country in salary, but I would imagine that Josh being able to say yes and pony up to be like, oh, if O's going to be the highest paid assistant in the country, I don't know that for a fact, but I imagine he's on a very, very short list at the very least. That has to be something that is another log on the fire of Josh doing everything he can to make sure that Brad is very happy here long term.
Derek, I can imagine Josh has told Brad like stern things at certain points in his career, but I don't think he tells him no very often when Brad says, I need this to win a national championship, or I need this to win Big Ten championships. Like, Josh has basically been like, what do you need? How do I get? And, of course, Josh is going to be like, hey, we got to do this this way or this way. But he is – it's one reason I have thought when the Louisville thing comes open and Illini fans, Fred, or even the Kentucky job when it comes open, like, yes, Brad Underwood should be on those lists. He's deserved to be on that list. I didn't think it's for Kentucky, but even with Brad, I was like, I think he'd have to seriously think about that. He's got the athletic he wants. He's got the support that he wants. So I thought it was going to take a Kansas or Kentucky or North Carolina or that level of program to do it, but that be leaving something he can be successful with. I don't think he's going to find, like, then Josh Whitman, whose goals are aligned better than that, tapped into the fan base and the passion and the resources that come with a program that from the 80s to the 2000s, mid-2000s, was one of the best in the country. So, like, the way Michigan State is thought of those years, I think Illinois is getting back close to Brad for being able to get them back to that. And then I give him credit for his adaptability. His adaptability of the transfer portal, his adaptability at NIL, his adaptability in changing his schemes. I think his adaptability has been parts of him so far, because I thought they were getting a John Beilein kind of X's and O's developed guy, and he's turned into this talent accrual. I'm going to, go with this kind of NBA style offense. I think it's a strength of his and why he's been successful.
Yeah, well said.
You know the voice, Jeremy Warner, IlliniInquirer.com. Follow him on Twitter at JWarner247. Joining us on the Tapman's Towing phone line. Before we transition to football, I want to ask you, Luke Goody goes in the portal today. We've seen with Chester Frazier leaving that Imani Hansberry, Sincere Harris go into the portal, then land at West Virginia. What's kind of your take on what Illinois has lost in the portal? Is Luke, I wouldn't say a huge loss. We'll see, and we've talked about, I know over at Atlanta Inquirer, Ben Humrickhouse, your guy, as a shooter that coming in from Evansville, that would be a really nice addition and possibly an upgrade over Luke in that type of a sense. But just in terms of, I know that fans do kind of plant their flags. Some don't like the turnover, the lack of continuity. What have you made of what Illinois has lost this offseason?
I think Brad Underwood, has adapted to this and is, I think, excited by what college basketball has become. I think the rest of us are trying to catch up to it. And I think it's uncomfortable for a lot of people. Because Luke, Bonnie Hansberry, I would even say Sincere Harris, even though he decided to redshirt and not help the team on the floor this year, I think those guys are the epitome of what Brad Underwood has talked about with everyday guys. I think when he hired Chester Frazier, he wanted him to go get these kind of guys. But now with where Illinois is at, with unlimited transfers, with NIL basically being pay for play, and Illinois being a big fish there, I think Brad Underwood has now gotten to the level where he can tap into some of the best talent in the country, and he can upgrade on that talent every year. So I think Luke Goody and Imani Hansberry can help you win games. I think Sincere Harris was a guy that, if he wanted to accept a certain role, could help you win games. But when you can upgrade that talent, is that talent going to be willing to be bench players? And now I think Brad has got a five-star guard now in Colin Boswell. Trey White is a former top 40 prospect. Kerry Booth is a potential high-ceiling guy who can potentially get to the NBA. Moritz Johnson's a top 40 prospect. Like, Jay Gibbs Lawhorn is one of the lowest rated recruits, and at one point he was a top 50 prospect, and they're just now being able to tap into a level of talent that they weren't able to get 3-4 years ago when they recruited some of these guys, and now they just want to play a different style of basketball. I think that's part of why you see Chester Frazier leave. Is I think he wants to be part of that development. I think he wants to recruit more defensively and have guys develop in this program for 3 or 4 years. Well, Illinois is now at the point where they can recruit like UConn. They can recruit like a Kentucky or a Kansas, where they can go look at the rest of the rosters throughout the country and say, I like that guy. And that guy is probably going to be interested. in Illinois basketball. So the days of a Coleman Hawkins, like, he's a rarity nowadays, right? if you get a guy for 2 or 3 years, that's a rarity nowadays. You're rebuilding your roster every year. And even if you give that freshman 20, 25 minutes, Guy Clark, Jaden Epps, Adam Miller, yep, that can happen. So if you have 13 one-year contracts every year, and I understand why Brad Underwood, who is held now to a standard of you make Sweet 16s, you try to compete for a Final Four, you try to compete for a Big Ten championship every year. You know, Purdue, I think, has become more and more the anomaly of developing those. Like, right, the teams you see making the Elite Eights and Final Fours are teams that go into the transfer portal and get the best players for that one-year run. It's different. It's even way different than the NBA, right? Like, the Chicago Bulls are locked in because they got guys on four-year contracts. That is not college basketball. College basketball is one-year contracts now, and Brad Underwood is going to try and maximize that every year. It's uncomfortable, and it's a big adjustment, but I will say this to Illinois fans. I think it's a good thing for Illini basketball. I think you're in a better place because of that. I think you're getting more talented, ready-to-eat rosters because of it, because you are one of the big fish right now.
No doubt.
All right, Jeremy, one more quick one before I let Lon take the reins on football. You mentioned the name. What the heck is Coleman Hawkins doing on Twitter? Is it cinema? Is it smoke screens? Yeah, you're right. You're right.
Man, like, it's been a with Coleman Hawkins, but it's been a fun relationship.
Yeah,
yeah.
You know, for us covering him, it's been interesting. But Bortley has been a good player. I'll be interested to see what he does. He's got options. He can declare for the NBA draft and decide to go through that process. He can enter the transfer portal if he wants to, like Kofi Coburn did, and see what he wants to do. I think Illinois is preparing like he is going to leave. I think that's why you have Terry Booth and Maurice Johnson. You're going to recruit some other five guys here. But, you know, he could potentially play for another school next year, and that wouldn't surprise me. And I wonder how Illinois fans would react to that. But he's going to have fun throughout the process, man. And one thing I will say about him, like, as long as he can handle the heat, which it seems like he does decently well, he has fun with being a college basketball, like, known name. Like, I think Hunter Dickinson has fun with it.
Yes.
I think Coleman Hawkins does as well. Other guys, I think, take it too seriously or take it to heart too much. I think Coleman tries to have as much fun with it as possible. No, so I'm here for it.
Yeah, I'm here for it, too. I love every second of it. All right, we got about 5 minutes. Let's go rapid fire spring game. You gave your top five things that you saw in the spring game that you liked. Donovan Leary, number one. Obviously, he and Luke Altmyer both had pretty good days for Illinois.
Yeah, I thought those guys both showed some good things. Luke Altmyer, I just thought, was solid. I don't think he tried to do too much. They're just trying to make him – he's more talented than John Paddock, right? But I think one thing he learned from John Paddock, I talked to Luke about, and I'll have a story up soon, is just trust yourself and pull the trigger and, you know, be confident in what you see. I think that Penn State game spooked him and made him a little bit more cautious than he needed to be.
Right.
He needs to throw people open. He needs to be more decisive and urgent. The sacks weren't all on the offensive line last year. You know, several of them, many of them were on Luke Altmyer holding onto the ball too long and just not making that quick decision. But that's what we expect. Those are the growing pains of a first-year player. I thought Donovan Leary had a really rough start to the spring game. I thought he held onto the ball too long. I thought he threw a couple passes that he was fortunate weren't picked. But I thought the rest of the game he played really well. That throws a really good deep ball. He really connected well with Alex Kafka-Jones and Colin Dixon. So I think that quarterback position is in a good spot. I think Luke Altmyer is a good Big Ten starter, needs to improve a little bit, but I do think he will in his second year as a starter. I'm just concerned about, you know, his weapons need to have more consistency, but that's what happens when you lose Casey Washington and Isaiah Williams. But I think Donovan Leary looks like he can be a competent backup, and he needs game experience. I'd really like him to play against Eastern Illinois.
Yes.
I'd really like him to play against Central Michigan just to get his feet wet, because it's a rarity that a quarterback is healthy for 12 straight games. So they have shown confidence in Donovan Leary, and I think he's going to have a great opportunity to play in a meaningful opportunity this game. And based on the spring, it sounds like he's impressed his coaches.
Is one of the starting cornerbacks on the team roster right now for the season?
They need to go find another one.
Yeah.
Just to make sure that a good one is starting. I was surprised they didn't go to the transfer portal during the winter. I think it's tougher to find a guy now because there's so much competition for these last couple spots of these transfers. So they've added Chase Canada, who they like, but he's got a hamstring injury throughout the spring, and you hate that because these reps are so meaningful. They like what Caleb Patterson has shown. But Zachary Tobey hitting the transfer portal stinks because he was competing for a job. Wasn't guaranteed the job. So it sounds like Tyler Strain and Xavier Scott are definitely going to start, one at corner, one at nickel. But I got concerns about the secondary because 2 years players, Xavier Scott and Matthew Bailey, are coming off injury. And then you have a bunch of unknowns. You have intriguing talent. Sabor Kareem's an intriguing talent. Jaheim Clark is an intriguing talent. But there's so many questions back there after what was a really disappointing season in the secondary. You knew it was going to take a step back, but the way it was playing at the end of the year was really, really scary. So it's on Aaron Henry and whoever the new defensive backs coach to get the most out of those guys. But they really need, that's probably my number one need in the transfer portal now, is after Zach Tobey leaving as a corner.
Amen. Final question. Is there anything you can tell me that gives me a belief that this Illini defense could step up next season and that the offense won't always have to carry it?
Well, you're not going to replace Johnny Duke. Right?
No.
And you would hope Matthew Bailey is healthy. Because when he was healthy against Penn State guys, he was a difference maker. And the secondary has to improve, right? Like, all those young guys are now sophomores, second year, third year in the program. It needs to improve, and that is on Aaron Henry to do that and to put him in better positions to succeed. But you're not going to replace Johnny Newton with one guy, but they do like Dennis Briggs. Florida State transfers are former very highly rated recruits, seventh-year guy. He's 24 years old. But he's had a really strong spring. They like Alex Bray. But I think it's about Seth Coleman and Gabe Ackett. It's time for those guys to be consistent stars throughout the year. Seth Coleman was great the back half of the year. I thought Gabe Ackett played pretty well the back half of the year. But the first half of the year, those guys were kind of really quiet. But if those guys take a step forward, I'm not expecting this defense to be dominant. They need to be deeper than they were last year, but I think they can be solid. And I think you have an offense that can take it to the next level as long as you get some consistency out of the wide receivers.
Sure,
but
sure.
If you're looking for, hey, how does this defense succeed? It's, you know, Matthew Bailey, Xavier Scott, that secondary takes a step forward, but then Seth Coleman and Gabe Ackes take their game to another level, all Big Ten level, to help you have a good defensive front. But I got a lot of questions. Defensively, I have tons of questions after what we saw last year. And honestly, after, you know, Anthony Johnson leaves, Zach Tobey leaves, those are two guys I thought were going to at least be in the 2D. That leaves more questions for him.
Well said.
Great stuff as always. Jeremy as Warner, Illini Inquirer on the Tapman's Towing phone line. Appreciate you taking the time. I know it's busy. It's crazy over there at Inquirer. Great time, shameless plug, to join if you're not on board with us already.
Amen.
But NFL draft coverage, I know, coming up for you guys, you and Joey. And very excited to see Johnny Newton, Keith Randolph, Tip Ryman, what's in store for those guys. So we'll be definitely looking forward to the coverage, man.
Appreciate you guys. Anytime.
See you, buddy.
Jeremy Warner.
He and Joey are both going to be in a draft. At a draft. Like, in other words.
At a draft party.
Yeah, a party. Do we know who? That's kind of
I don't know that they've released that.
Gotcha.
So
gotcha.
Not at liberty.
We'll let everybody kind of assume. Like, if the Inquirer released that Lon Tay was going to be at a draft party, you know I'm in Tampa for Johnny Newton.
Right.
I mean, there's no doubt, like, Tay's going to be with Newton. I don't even know if he's going to do it down there, but he's from the St. Peter.
I've heard he might, yeah. I've heard he might.
Well, I mean, I could always join them.
All right, breaking. I'm the one going to Tampa.
Yes!
I'm just kidding. No.
I love it. I love it. All right, I got to go to a game.
I'm sure Ben Humrickhouse will ruin. Or I'll just ask him, honestly, to
just wait till Friday.
Just, you know, I don't know.
Just wait till I get back on that Allegiant flight Friday morning.
Yeah.
Yeah. You'll roll into Peoria about 8:30.
Yeah.
You'll be good. Yeah, you can.
While
do
I'm five Coors Lights deep and I've soaked my Justin Fields card in gasoline and there's a book of matches that I have in the garage. And with the first pick in the NFL draft, just commit. Take the pain away.
It's going to happen. I can already see it.
It's all right. All right, we'll send you off.
Okay, buddy.
Enjoy some baseball.
Sorry.
It's all good. Kyle and I will continue to talk Illini basketball. You got thoughts, questions?
I want to know who's next in the transfer portal,
yeah,
guys.
I bet you do.
217-359-2255
on the U of I Illini Link text line. We'll be back. This is The Drive.